for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George. Steve O'Rourke is the Director of Player Development with the Prince George Cougars. Steve, what's all involved with that title?
Well, it morphs every day. There's different things to go about, but on my day-to-day basis when I'm in Prince George, I'm there with practice. I help out with a little bit of practice design. Early in the year, I did a little bit more of that, but now being gone as much, Jason and Mark are kind of forming that kind of relationship there. But I come in and I still go to practice. I work with guys before doing skill development. After practice, we work on things again. And when we're injured guys, Kalina, Brown, early in the year, they had kind of longer term, so I'll work with them trying to get them back. Right now, we have Mr. Perpilak, who's suspended, so a little different. That's more conditioning based, but still, even with the conditioning, you try to get it purposeful conditioning, not just the old school of down and backs. We did some stuff that it's going to get as well. We go like 30 seconds hard and a minute and a half off and get him conditioned that way, but we're still trying to work on some elements of his game at the same time. So
now I know Nick Drazenovic had that title last season. He decided to leave the team. But your role is more comprehensive, from what I understand, than what Nick did. Can you sort of expand upon that?
Well, I think like Nick came in and we weren't sure what it was. And I think Mark has a clear picture of what he wants from it. And so for me, when I'm here on the day-to-day, that's what I do here. But then a lot of these weekends I take off. A lot of times it's when the team's gone, but it's whatever the schedule dictates. I go out and see our prospects and talk with them, watch them play, talk with parents, and just at the end of the day, those prospects, you draft them, but they're really a customer. And if we're not giving value to those people, like, we want them to feel part of the Prince George Cougars, whether they're on a sign, not sign. Like, I go out and see kids that, like, Jaron Brinson this weekend, hasn't signed yet, second rounder, really good player. Go out, I watch them, talk with the parents, make them feel like they're part of our family. And that's something that I think is really important, that value that we're giving back to them. And he's a guy that we hope that we get signed here. But again, no matter what, we want people to talk positively at our program here in the North.
Do you have to pitch the Cougars and WHL compared to BCHL or equivalent Junior A in another province and NCAA route? Is that what you're battling against?
I try to stay away from that part of it. Like, for me, I'm just going out letting them know what they're playing like, where they can improve, talk about our program. But for me, obviously, I'm a believer. My son came through this route, and he got to play a bit as a 20-year-old here. He's in Junior A, but he's got 5 years education. You know, I'm a big believer in the Western Hockey League or the Canadian Hockey League in general. You know, I'm not saying Junior A isn't a great route. It is a route for people. But for here, if you can play in the Western Hockey League and get your 3, 4, 5 years in the league and know that you have education in your pocket compared to kids that play Junior A, and every year you're hoping for that scholarship, if it doesn't come, you're going on with nothing. Right? And that's the challenge. I'm not saying that the NCAA isn't a great route to get to where you want to go, but for me, I took kind of, as a parent, I knew what my son was. He was a big forward. I knew he'd be able to play at this level and get that education. The rest was on him to go to that next level, and it didn't happen, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. He's fine with that, but he has education, and it's guaranteed, right? That's a nice carrot at the end of the day for him, and that's what we're discussing now as a young man. Where are you going to go? What's the next steps? But it's nice that he's off dad's books a little bit, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing is that the dream and the goal for everybody that plays hockey is to get to the highest level, NHL. In reality, even the top WHL guys, even the top CHL guys, most of them do not get there, especially on a regular basis. They may get a little cup of coffee, they may get a little sample, but for the most part, the majority of those players, the dream is there, but the reality kicks in when you're in your 20s now. You're not in the NHL, and you have to look beyond that. And that's why education, regardless of what route you want to take, has to be or should be number one, unless you have an amazing kind of a talent that everybody knows. Well, that's a surefire guy, and that's a rarity.
Yeah, and even surefire isn't surefire. The number one overall pick, like, we know that even the history of number one over picks don't always make it, right? But you're right. And education, not everyone is for education. It's not for everyone. But the nice thing about our package is if you want to go to a trade school, you want to become an electrician, it works that way too. If you want to go to a NAIT, a SAIT, it doesn't always have to be like, not everyone's going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a businessman. Some of us are going to do different things, but you still need some type of education to be successful in it, and that pays for it, right? And it's a great opportunity.
On a recent CAT scan, spoke with the new captain, Josh Mazur, and Ryan Shetler, and they know they're done right after this season. All in their mind, I want to play hockey next year. I want to play hockey next year. What do you advise these kind of players?
Well, I do like that these guys go down at the end of the season. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. I don't think we're making playoffs. You know, so they're going to have that opportunity. These guys will be sought after players, hopefully at the American League level. But if not, they'll be sought out at the East Coast level. Go down, see what it's like. See if professional hockey's for you. It's difficult. It's not an easy next step. Everyone thinks, hey, I can play in the East Coast. It's not a problem. I can play in the American League. It's not a problem. Well, you talk about the best of the best, don't make it there. You know, and you have to have the right mindset. You have to have the ability to go down there and really deal with adversity. We, at the end of the day, we coddle the kids at this level. We do. They still have billets. Their laundry's done. They're getting food for them, right? All their trips are all planned. You get to the professional level and you got to feed yourself. You got to make sure, hey, who's paying the bill for cable? Who's paying my vehicle payment now, right? Things start to change and you have different stresses. And then when coaches, some of them out there won't talk to you, you're just scratched, right? It's professional, I'm here to win. Here, we let these kids know why they're being scratched, what's going forward. At the professional level, you hear all of the different stories that you'll hear a guy, well, that coach never told me a thing. Well, at that, some majority of them do that, and it's a hard mental grind. So I like to see them go down and give it a try for even a couple weeks, a month, and see what it's like, and hopefully make a roster, a playoff roster, and carry on. Then they have at least some little bit of inkling of what it's like to play pro, and then you make that decision. Do I want to go that way or go CIS? And the biggest thing is just make that decision in that 18-month window. Just don't lose that education. Don't go that little bit longer and hold on and hope. For me, if I was advising for most people, if you can guarantee, if you can get an American League contract, go try it for a year. If you can get that NHL contract, obviously, go on. But if it's East Coast, go to school. Go to school. The East Coast will be there at the end of your 4 or 5 years. Then you open up Europe as well. Once you've played CIS, there's a lot of European teams that like the mature CIS, NCAA player. Then you can move on and you have something in your pocket. I played in those levels and I was educated, and it drove me nuts towards the end of my career, and I still go into school while I was on those buses, and you'd say, hey, just take a class. Take a computer class. Nah, no, I'm good. Just do it just to see what you like. You know, maybe you like it, and all of a sudden you're going down a field that you never thought was possible.
As you were speaking, I was thinking back to another recent CAT scan, but this time it was with Ryan House, and how he was so forthright and said, I got to the AHL, I got in the Calgary Flames system, and he basically was saying, I was lost. I didn't eat right. I didn't take care of myself like I should have. You know, he didn't hold anything back. And it was basically exactly what you were saying. Some guys can make that adjustment, but it's not for everybody, because once you leave junior hockey, things are not done for you. You're almost left on your own.
Yeah, you are 100%. Like, at the end of the day, that coach's job is to win hockey games, depending on the level. If East Coast, you're pretty much there to win hockey games. AHL, depending what organization you're in, there's way more emphasis on development in the American League now because of the salary cap. But some organizations are still there to win. Some are there to push. I was fortunate. I worked with Ryan a little bit in the Calgary Flames organization, and he's dead on. I'm glad he's honest. And I had a talk with him probably, I think it was during Caribou Cougars camp, and he was there helping out and evaluating, and he was honest. And that's the same thing, is once you get honest with yourself, then you can realize why you didn't make it, you know. And that was a big thing for him. He was a heck of a junior player. I mean, we were excited about bringing this kid into our organization, and he just wasn't ready yet, right? And that's the challenge. And again, he didn't have those good habits in junior, and that's the challenge of junior here, because we do coddle. It is tough to get these guys to understand that you have to eat right, you have to sleep right, you have to hydrate, and you get into junior, and it's pretty easy. Some of these guys at 19, 20, they dominate the league, and they think they're going to dominate the next level. Like, it shocks you. If you went through our 20-year-olds from last year, and you look at the American League now, you'd be shocked at the ones that are having success and the ones that aren't having success. You know, some of the ones we think will, they do, but there's some that are way off the map. You wouldn't think that would have success. They're at a point a game, you know. And then the guy that's been a 100-point guy in our league, he's got one goal in the year.
How does that happen? Is it ice time? Like, what happened?
Some of it's situational, for sure. Some of it's situational, but the other is just not having the right game to play at that next level. Okay, a good example, we had a guy named Brian Cameron, 53-goal scorer, led the whole entire Canadian Hockey League. He scored majority of those goals on the power play in one spot. Well, within a month, pro hockey, that spot's covered now. They know what you do. If you don't have another way to shoot a puck, you don't have another way to be successful, it gets shut down pretty quick. And that's the thing, is it's hard to work with our junior players, because they do have success at this level, but the next level of success, you got to do things even better. Papa Guyoff is a good example. Yeah. He had a great shot, but he had one type of shot, and his feet were planted. It was a long, slow release. And you tell a guy who scored 26 goals, you know, at the next level, you probably don't know that 26 turns into 2-5. So you got to find different ways to score. And that's difficult for guys, because now you get out of your comfort zone, and now you're saying, okay, I know you're really good here, but you're not very good over here. And those guys don't like to hear that.
Well, they probably never heard that their entire life regarding anything, because if they're good at hockey, they're good at all sports. They could very well be good in school. Not necessarily everybody, but a lot of them are. And things come naturally. Yeah. Now when you're into your 20s and you're being challenged and you're saying, maybe you're not good enough, what do you mean? I've been this way all my life.
Yeah, yeah. Because that next level, when you're 21, you're going up against people that are 22 to, let's say, 40. You know, and a guy who's been doing this whole life, whether it's American League. If you got a guy that's in the American League in his 30s, he's a heck of a hockey player. You know, there's one element that's maybe keeping him out of the NHL, but he knows that level really well, and he does his job really well. Now you come in with your one element, well, he's seen that for 8-10 years already. You know, you have to do something different. And that's the challenge for these guys. Like, Ovechkin's a perfect example. If we sat here, everyone would say he scores from the same spot. That guy scores 50 to 60 goals in different ways. He scores off the rush. He scores with wrist shots, slap shots. Yes, his patented slapper from that one side on the power play scores a lot, but that's just one element of his, right? That's why he scores 50 goals a year for his whole career, is because he's not one-dimensional. He'll beat you with a one-on-one play. He'll beat you. He'll tip pucks at the front of the net. He'll go and get garbage at the front of the net. And people don't realize that, because we see the real sexy goals on highlights, right? We don't a lot of times see him tipping a puck in.
We see a lot of the Ovechkin highlights.
Different ways, for sure.
So it really is. There's a lot that's involved there. So you're now really at the grassroots level of the PG Cougars, which is completely different than what you were used to.
Yeah, I like it. I just went and did the U17 and coached for 2 weeks, and I came back from that going, you know, I don't really need to do that. You know, I don't need to be behind a bench. I like it. I like the intensity of it again, but I really like of going out, seeing our prospects, helping Mark and Bob know where those guys stand, where they are kind of in our whole depth chart, let them know my opinion on it. And I think ultimately that was one of the things Mark wanted from this role, is to go out and give me an extra set of eyes. And because we haven't drafted well over the last few years, I think these last, from Armstrong's year and this the 03 and 04, I think we're real solid. We got to get some of those 03 signed that are still out there. And the 04s, I mean, it's a good crop of kids. You know, we're heading in the right direction, and it's tough on a day-to-day basis to come and see that, yes, we're not winning hockey games. I think what I see when I come back to practices and I come back and watch the games, I see a great foundation here of work ethic, you know, and if we can maintain that work ethic and we start to plug these higher-end players in, we're going to have something special here. It's one thing to have higher-end players and they don't have that work ethic, but we got a roster that's got a good work ethic. I know Mark talks a lot about 21 games, 16 of them one goal. So we're right there. We just need those little game changers, you know, and those game changers are coming. They're getting older. They're going to be on the roster here in the next few years. It's just trying to be patient.
Well, and I think that's the tough part for fans, players, the whole organization, is that we're looking for instant success.
Yeah.
And when it's not there, everybody, because I would almost guarantee you could talk to all 22 WHL teams and they would say they got great prospects, they got great system. Now, I don't know about Kelowna because they're in a special situation where they have to look to get as competitive as they can because they're hosting the Memorial Cup. But I would say just about every one of those teams, if I was to have their director of player personnel, they would say, hey, we're great in this system, we got a lot of guys, we're going to be good for the future. So when we hear that, I guess from the fans' point of view, they would look and say, okay, at some point they're looking and say, but show me, right?
Yeah, and for us, there's a three-year window where we don't really have any players on our roster came from our draft. So it is difficult. It's going to take more time. But at the end of the day, the fans will come back when we get better. So it is what it is. We are where we are, and we want to tell the fans, hey, it's all good, it's coming. At the end of the day, we are going to have to show them. And they'll come back. We showed it the year Maddie and I came in here and we won. Those fans came out. They will come back. Spruce Kings had nobody in their building. They had two awesome years here and fans were out. Fans get excited when you win and we'll get there and they'll come back again. We got great ownership here. I was fortunate to go to that U17 and talk to people from the OHL, the QMJHL. We have great owners. Great owners. The way they treat these players, the way they treat the staff, it is second to none in this league. You know, that yes, like we look at the Portlands and the Kelownas, we're right there with how we treat these kids, how we train them, how we travel, all that. Like some of these other places, they scrimp on how to feed them. They scrimp on how they travel. They scrimp on where they stay in hotels. We give every opportunity, and our owners, they don't get the credit, because we don't win right now, but they will get the credit for what they've given to this community and the opportunity that we're going to move forward. And
is that because Brewer and Ham Hughes, I know they don't have as prominent a role, Brewer does now, but Ham Hughes doesn't, but because they were there and they understand that's what players need, does that come into it, the fact that they made the NHL, played so long, such great careers, and Dan's still continuing? Do they understand maybe more than another owner?
I'm not sure where it came from, but I know in day one of when the new ownership took over, they wanted to set a standard. I don't know who said that that's the standard we're going to go by, whether it was Eric, Dan, Greg, Ernest, John, Ray. I don't know who said it, but they said it and they've stuck to it. Whether we have fans in that building or not, they find ways to make sure that these kids are moving in the right direction. From is something that doesn't seem like a big deal. Sticks. Those kids have great sticks. They have sticks that work for them.
How much do sticks cost?
Well, I mean, we know what they are on the retail side. We don't pay the retail number, but it's still, that's one of the biggest costs that we have is sticks. But these kids have a stick that's right for them. That's not, you can't say that about every organization. There was ones where my son's been at and he's like, Dad, they're just giving me, it doesn't make a difference for him. It didn't make a difference, but it does in the big scheme of things that a kid feels good. They got a tool that works for them in their hands. And it doesn't seem like much, but it is. And that's not all the teams do that, right?
Are there some sticks where you can score some more goals?
Well, that's Chico's end. He keeps ordering these ones without goals in them.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You're listening to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs in the corner of 5th and George. We're speaking with Steve O'Rourke. He's the director of player development with the Prince George Cougars. I think right at this time, let's just sort of, I'd like to find out about your background, because you have played WHL. You had a little bit of pro, you've had a lot of coaching, but just sort of Give us a little brief history of your background to get us to the point. Right now, I think you're in your mid-40s, everything like that. So just sort of, you know, take us through your hockey career.
I've done a lot of different things. My path went a little different. I played in the Western League, got drafted with the Islanders, offered a contract, and turned it down, and things kind of went sideways from there. I ended up in Junior A.
Why would you turn down a contract in the NHL?
that was agent. The numbers weren't right. I was actually with Mike Milbury at the time. It was face-to-face, and it was different. We didn't have the same. I was actually on a hotel phone talking to an agent compared to texting and being able to talk all the time with them, right? And he said, hey, go back in there and tell him you want more. And I did that, and Mike Milbury wasn't a guy you tell you want more. They sent me back to junior, and it wasn't a great experience in Moose Jaw with a first-time coach. And we didn't see eye to eye, and next thing I know, I was playing Junior A. But I had, at that time, I was fortunate. We didn't have the same type of packages we do now, but I had a guaranteed 5 years, whereas before it was play for every year. So things were different. I was with a U.S. team-based team at that time, and they did contracts however they wanted to do them. And so I went on, and I did my schooling, and then went over to Europe, played 3 years over in Europe, then came back, played 3 years in North America, 4 years in North America, and then finished my master's degree and just said, hey, I got kind of what I need and let's move on with life. Started coaching at the Okanagan Academy for 3 years and then went to the American League for two. GM head coached in the BCHL and then back to the Academy for 1 year, and Brent Sutter gave me a call because we connected a bit in Calgary when I was with them, and they were hosting, he was doing the World Juniors at the time, and we had myself and Jeff Truitt there, and Brent wasn't there a whole lot. He kind of liked it that way. He basically, if we were played Saturday night, we didn't play again till Friday, we'd see him on Thursday. He'd be in the building, we'd chat all the time, but he wouldn't come on the ice all the time, so he wanted guys with experience to be able to run that. We had a nice 3-year run in Red Deer, kind of building that team towards hosting the Memorial Cup. And then ended up here for 3 years of coaching here.
Why would you leave Red Deer to come to Prince George? What happened there?
Unfortunately, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer 2 months before the Memorial Cup. And I was living in Red Deer on my own. My family was in Penticton. My son was going to the academy. And Ethan had been with me through pro hockey, through coaching. So he'd been in like 15 schools.
Wow.
Right? And we were kind of, let's just make our roots here. I'll go back and forth. Brent was really good to me. He'd fly me back on those three-day weekends that we had. I didn't have to always be there every day. So that was good. But after 3 years of being away from the family, I didn't want to move him out of Penticton. I said, I can't do this anymore. I got to go be with my family, my wife, my mother-in-law. She passed away during the Memorial Cup, and it didn't change. And I was actually wrapped up my stuff in Red Deer, and I was heading home, and I got a phone call from Todd asking if I would be interested in talking about the associate coach role here. Thought about it for a day or two and then said, yeah, sure. Like, I didn't know Richard at all at the time, and we chatted and kind of just seemed to hit it off, and I sat there going, okay, Ethan's here. Let's come up here, move everyone together. Hopefully Ethan makes the team, and we're all here together. Ethan lived at a billet, though, which is important. I believe that you have to have that detachment. I mean, your coach at the rink, when you come home, it's hard to turn it off. He needed his own space. So it just worked that we all came together. Unfortunately, we moved on from him, you know, which is hockey. It's life.
I want to know, I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to know how that happened. He got traded, and were you in on it? What did they say? Hey, Steve, we're trading your son. And you said, what? Like, how did it come down? Sort of go through that particular day when the trade was made, because you were coaching your son with the Prince George Cougars, and now he was off to another team.
Well, part of it, we were transitioning. He was still young, but we were transitioning. I know there was a little bit too much family involved in the team. And
because Todd had his, you know, cause yeah, Jansen on the team.
Jansen had already gone through. Jonas was coming through. Yeah. We also had Nick involved with the team. Ethan involved. Previously, we had a lot of family involved before this new ownership. Mm-hmm. And I think the optics weren't great,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And like I always say, I used to, when I was younger, when I'd get pouty and I'd pout for a long time. Now I'm more mature. I pouted for my couple minutes and like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Ideally, I would like to be traded, but we don't trade coaches for some reason.
Right, yeah.
You know, he was here before I was here. He was part of this organization before I was, yeah. Right? So I would have loved to see him stay and me go,
right.
But that's not the way it worked. He went. I give the organization credit. They put him in a good spot in Everett. Yeah. Got to go to the league final. I'm back here. It kind of says a few things of how I handle it, how I handle myself, how the organization handles themselves, you know. So for me, there was no ill will. It's part of the game. It's just like at the end of the season, I wasn't renewed,
right?
You know,
yes.
And that's the game. I know as soon as Mark was hired, I knew that he's a coach,
yep.
And he was on he came here to be GM, but his passion is to coach.
Yes.
And it happened. Whether we liked it or don't like it, that's the game. And he's come in. We had about a month together. And from there, you know, most hires are done with people you know. And he knows Jason Smith. He didn't know me. And that, I understand that. I have no issue with that. I'm glad he was open and honest with me early. I got into the coaching carousel early on and tried to find a job. Had different opportunities, but when this presented itself, my daughter's in grade 11, I thought, you know, this would be a great fit to try something different, stay here in Prince George because I like the community. And again, the organization, the people involved were open, they're honest, and I came back because of that. You know, it took me a little bit of time, hey, I don't know, but yeah, this is really good. I like where we're going and how things function here right now. I like the communication. I like how just people are allowed to do their roles here and not be micromanaged. Here, Steve, take care of our prospects, go do your job, give us reports, and keep doing it.
How off guard were you, and what was your reaction when the decision was made, which I think some of us were surprised because he was in the last year of his contract. And I know there was a big losing streak going on, and there's probably some pressures and everything like that, but the decision was made not to let Matty finish out last season. You're there with him as his right-hand man. But they asked you to stay for the end of the season. What's your mindset? What was your action? You know, just sort of tell us all about that.
Well, Richard hired me, so you have loyalty to that man. And when someone gets let go, we see it all the time. We see assistants stay on, eventually stay on with the next regime. A lot of times the role might change because at the NHL level, you have so many assistants now. You have three or four of them. So if one goes out and you bring your new guy in, someone stays. I know in Edmonton, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but one guy stayed from the past regime in Edmonton. It happens. But for me, you got to step by it. You got a job to do. You come in. Mark's going to ask of different things from me. He gave me the mandate of what he needed from me. I did my job, keep helping the players move on and develop. And I thought we had a good relationship, as good as it can be when things change like that. And it's ultimately kind of two of your bosses, you know, it's your head coach and your GM. So you got to just make sure you maintain professionalism, which I did. And just for me, I like to work. And nothing changed. I go to that rink early in the morning. I came in at 6 the next day. I did my job. Mark, I think, appreciated that. And I think, like I said, ultimately he wanted his guy there, and I understand that. And Jason's a good coach. And I think my professionalism showed him that when things didn't work out with Nick the way it was going, he called me right away and said, hey, would you like to come back and take on this role?
Were you mulling other offers at that time? Or were you in limbo, sort of? Because you said there was a month where you really weren't with the Cougars because they were very frank with you at the end of the season saying, hey, we're going to bring another assistant or associate coach in. So you're sort of sitting here in Prince George really without anything. At that time, Nick still had that title, but that job came open. But what was going through your mind? Where were you during that limbo status?
Well, for me, it's you're looking to move on, and there's different ways to move on. Move on your own and leave your family here, or move on together. So I looked at a lot of different things. There was some things within the league. There was some things out in the QMJHL. There was a scouting opportunity. There was a bit of a hockey role, but not in coaching. So when that came about, I want to say it was mid-July, I think, is when they didn't come to terms with Nick. And for me, I had, I was let go. I had no intention of coming back here. Mark was helping me out, and we'd chat once a month to kind of say, hey, Mark, you're connected. Is there jobs out there? Are you hearing anything? You know, because that's really what it becomes is you need that pipeline, because you sit up here and you don't always check into every single thing. And Mark knows a lot of people. He's been in the game a lot, long time. So I'd check in with him and say, hey, are you hearing anything? And he'd help me out and either give me a recommendation or just tell me, hey, I've heard this might be popping open. Get your resume in there, right? So that's about as much as we stayed in contact. And then when that came about, he gave me a call. And I like I said, I was in the middle of about three things at the time. And so he was good to me. It was about 2 weeks of kind of which direction, what are we going to do, how are we going to make this all work. I mean, we didn't quite put our house up for sale, but it was close, right, you know. Yeah. So that's where I was at, right? And it just seemed to make sense to take on this role and stay in town. And I love the north here. I love PG. I'm an outdoor, I love the mountain bike. Yeah. So we got great mountain biking here. I live just by UNBC. I can go snowshoeing in the winter time. Mm-hmm. So I love the winter. I love the four seasons that it gives to you up here. So I didn't really want to leave, you know.
How many cities have you lived in over the course of your career and everything like that?
Well, it's funny, I guess we've been all over. We've been in Red Deer, Penticton, Mississippi, New York, Muskegon, Michigan, been over to Europe. There's been a lot. And then some of that with those schools, sometimes Ethan would start in a school in September. We'd go for the hockey, and then we'd be finished. You'd be back into that school. So he bounced a lot. And then even when we were in Abbotsford, we should have bought a house when we went down there. We were all set to buy a house. Our realtor convinced us not to buy in a certain area and said, okay, we're just going to rent and figure it out. So over 4 years, we moved every year we were there into something a little different. Because the first place we took is funny there. We did 100 nights away our first year out of Abbotsford. And that did include development camp of a week and NHL camp of 2 weeks. So at the end of the year, I said to my wife, I said, this has been a great year. I'm excited. I'm working in the American Hockey League. There's silence. I'm like, what's that about? She goes, well, I felt like a single mom, you know, she was running all over. Yeah. And so we just rented a small townhouse. She goes, now you're home full time. There's too many people in this place. It's too small. So we moved to find a bigger place and just kind of went like that all the time. And it's a coach's life, right? Some people say, well, how can you do it? But my wife's been with me from day one. The kids understand how it goes. And
are you at a point to try and see if you can settle down, or will the hockey business not allow that?
Hockey business doesn't allow it, but I am looking for me, I want to transition to that other side of the game, into the management side. For me, I like that ability to build something. So that's what I'm trying to get out of this role and from the Cougars, as much information and knowledge. I mean, Mark was able to GM for 7 years in this league, so there's a lot of knowledge there. Trying to pick his brain and talk to him. Bob Simmons has been in this league a long time. Bob's a good, caring, giving man too. So trying to learn as much as possible to use that to move on into other aspects. And that was one of the roles. I had an offer to do something in the game, but not coaching. But I wasn't quite there to sit down at an office job quite yet, yeah. You know, on that side of the game. This still gives me that passion to get on the ice every day, work with prospects, work with our guys. For me, once I finished playing, I've never played a game since. I haven't played pickup hockey. I haven't played adult hockey because I get enough just being around the guys every day. Because when you hear guys retire, that's what they miss. Right. And I get that every day to go to the rink and work with guys and see the improvement. So that's what fulfills me. And I think that being fulfilled can still come on the other side of building the team, managing people, managing our roster, making trades, making deals. I think that will still be part of it.
When you were an associate coach with the PG Cougars, part of your responsibility was at the end of games, go on the post-game show and to give your assessment. And sometimes the emotion of the game would get quite high. I'm just wondering what your relationship is like with Tim Hunter, the coach of the Moose Jaw Warriors.
Oh, really?
because, you know, there was one game that you lost in Moose Jaw. You weren't too happy, and you were very expressive about it. that he put a power play out there with a 4-0 lead in the last minute. And I'm just sort of curious. Things were said and done, but I know it's all in the hockey business. But a few years later now, how is your relationship with Tim Hunter?
I don't know Tim. I've never really met him. One of the things I learned at Hockey Canada, they're very big at staying in your lane. I probably should have stayed in my lane that night.
Right, yeah.
But that is emotion. I know year one when we got the suspensions here with Medicine Hat, that was, I can take some blame on that because I dealt with Medicine Hat for a number of years and knew kind of what they tried to do. And that's part of the game. And I'm glad things have changed in the game, but there is days where you like, we'd like to send a message here. This, what happened here isn't right. You know, like putting your power
play.
You
still believe what you said on that day, but maybe worded it different or.
Yeah. Like for me, I mean, I got a call from the league.
Yeah.
You know, from Richard, and Richard said that's not how we deal. And I know Richard fairly well, being in Red Deer and Brent. He was in our office quite a bit because it was Subway Series and different things, different events. They have Memorial Cup. Richard was around there quite a bit, so he knows me. And he said, you can't do that. I said, I can't say never, but there's a good chance I'll never do that again.
Right.
You know, and it happens. Like, it happens. And for me, I still believe in what I said. I said that to Tim. We don't have to agree to disagree, but I should not have said it on the air. I should have brought it up in a different forum, probably to him, you know, and he would have appreciated it more if I would have said it to him, you know. The bad thing about Tim is he's tough, and I know he's still in good shape, so I was always able to run, but I think he'd still be able to track me down and get me. So face-to-face might not have been the best solution for me, but no.
Right. And I know it was frustrating. It came off, you know, the things didn't go well for the PG Cougars that particular game, and I guess that's the thing is that emotions run high, especially as some of the losses mount.
Yeah, well, if you look at that trip, so we were good in Saskatoon and PA. I think we won in PA, I believe. So those are teams that we're right around. But then you go into the gauntlet of what that division was. We had Swift Current, we had Regina, Brandon, and finished with Moose Jaw. All four of those teams could have won our league, and one of them did. You know, so it was just one thumping after another, right? And you want it so bad, you want to be competitive, but we'd made all those trades right at that time, so the team was really down on themselves. Like, you see a Dennis Shalowski move out, Josh Anderson move out, Cody McDonald move out. That's, we go in there and we're pretty competitive. You keep those three guys on your roster, but we had to do what we had to do to be competitive, right? To move forward with this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the two firsts last year, the two firsts coming up, right? And that's what's going to transform this roster and this team is front loading those picks. And I'm glad we did it that year because the rules changed. You know, we got a lot for Josh Anderson.
Two first round picks.
Yeah. And that now is really difficult to do with not being able to trade the 16s and 17s because of that year got a little goofy. There's a lot of teams in it, right? Like with Regina hosting, Swift was so good. And I mean, out here we had Tri-Cities, Portland, Kelowna. It was, everyone thought they had the team to go for it. It was a great year of hockey because it was just fun. Those teams were so good, all of them.
As we wrap up this particular episode of a CAT scan, PG Cougars this season, scoring goals has obviously been a chore. We knew that at the beginning of the season, but it's probably even been more so. How do you look at this particular team? You've already earlier suggested that you're realistic, probably a lot that maybe playoffs aren't going to be there. Teams double digits out as we do this interview. You know, they're going to have to make some decisions about January 10th and whether they're going to sell some more. But you've indicated, like Mark Lamb has indicated and Jason Smith when they've been here, this team will be set 2 to 3 years from now. But for this season, what do you see and how do you assess it?
I have a unique perspective because I come and go quite a bit.
Okay.
So I see different things. And what I like to see when I come back is the mental state and the attitude. This team isn't a team that is a losing team. They don't have a losing mentality. I think they have a winning mentality. They can't score goals. They come out, they compete hard every night. They have good character on our roster. I think the dressing room's good. Our practices are upbeat. that's what we're trying to, that's what Mark and Jason are instilling every day, that these kids are moving forward, they're improving, we're hanging in there every night. Like, well, 2 years ago when we made this decision, those games, we got some big losses hung on us. You know, that's demoralizing. These kids are hanging in there. They're right in on every game. Like Mark said, 21 games, 16 of them one goal games. That's heading in the right direction. And that's with a team that we're not quite there with the talent. So if we keep that mentality, keep the character level high, when we get these good young new players in, they're going to know the expectation, they're going to know the culture of the room, and the winning is going to start to happen. But if you got to bring these kids in and start to do that, well, the process may never get better, but right now we're heading in that right direction. And like I said, I came in yesterday, the practice was fantastic, the energy, the upbeat. That doesn't mean they're going to win tonight, but they have the mentality that they have a chance to win. And I think Taylor, I haven't been around, but I think Gauthier's playing solid. Brennan's getting his minutes in. We're going to have a nice tandem going through. Again, it's easy to say it. The future, I think, is bright here. And I'm fortunate because I get to go out and see the Brinsons, the Doheniaks, Gronick, these kids that were drafted this year. These guys are game changers in their league. Zimmer, our fourth overall pick. I go out and watch. These guys are making a difference in the games that they're playing in. Probably could not have said that 3 years ago with our draft picks, that they only got a handful of points in the year, right? We got a third overall, our third round pick, he's only got a few points. You know, we got a first round pick that doesn't have a lot of points. You know, our last real high end one was, help me out.
This year?
Moose Jaw, went to Moose Jaw. Almeida.
You look at Justin,
he had lots of points. He was going to be a player. Yeah. Right? We got kids like that now that you know they're going to be a player. They might not be at 16. They might not be at 17 like Justin was, but at 18, 19, he dominated this league. And that's where we're heading. These kids, they're good.
And that was a trade. When they traded Almeida, got Papagaya, that was a trade that really sent the franchise back. And that's why you've been in that such a rebuilding.
Yeah.
For 2 years, realistically, 2 years away from really seeing this team climb?
Well, I think it's year to year, because it always goes with the divisions, right? Because with that wild card, the 1, 2, and 3, depends what the divisions are. Like Vancouver is a little down. Are they going to go back up next year? I'm not sure. Victoria, I think they feel like this might be a bit of their year. Could they take a step back? So all of a sudden you think it's still a building year, and all of a sudden you grab one of those playoff spots, you know? And that's really what you want to do, is start to teach and learn how to win. And I think grabbing one of those playoff spots is the first step, right? And I know for me, like, an organization that's one of the better ones that doesn't get talked a lot about, but Medicine Hat, you know, every year they're in the playoffs. Every year they're going to the second round. I think that's where we got to get to here, is just that expectation. And I think we're building that, and we're building the prospect pool to stay steady for not just a 2 year cycle, but try to stay steady year after year, like the Kelownas, the Medicine Hats, the Portlands.
That's what we're trying to do. It's probably been as good as anything.
Yes.
Any team,
yeah.
Right?
And that's Gary Davidson's been there, and he's done a great job. He's a great evaluator of talent. And that's this year, this had to be their year they're going to fall off after the 2 years they've had. But they're right back at the top, because again, you just keep putting good players. And I think that's Mark's vision of what a player is. That's the difference. I think we missed the vision of what this new player looked like under the last regime. Here, I think we know what that player looks like, and we can keep a steady pool of those type of players coming in to keep us competitive.
Appreciate your perspective. Steve O'Rourke, the Prince George Cougars Director of Player Development. You've been listening to CAT Scan, brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George.